Welcome to the Building Doctor Show with Jens Johansson.
All right. Welcome to the Building Doctor Show. I am your host, Jens Johansson, and I'm glad to see you here today to learn more about your buildings. Today, we're excited to have Del Gray, J2's own registered roofing consultant, as our guest. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Del.
How you doing? I'm Del Gray. I'm a registered roof consultant and a registered roof observer. Been in the industry for 28 years, starting in 1996. One of only five registered roof consultants in Oregon. So.
And you serve on the roofing board. What's that group?
So the International Institute of Building Consultants is a professional organization that for building consultants that do roofing, waterproofing, anything that's, you know, envelope related. And I am currently the treasurer on the Portland chapter's board, and I have been for 3 years.
Right on. And you're coming to us from the bridge of the Star Trek something. What is that background?
This is the Enterprise.
This is the Enterprise. Okay.
It's just more interest in my office.
All right. In this episode, we're going to talk through everything roofing. We're going to learn the essentials of roof types and materials. We're going to explore key maintenance practices to avoid expensive messes and discover insights into integrating various additions to rooftops like decks or solar panels or patio spaces. Yep. So, of course, you'll have the chance to ask your questions of Del or myself free of charge. This is a good one to play Ask the Expert with. So let's run a little poll. We always like to do polls to understand what's going on in our audience and how we can tailor that to them. And you know what? I'm missing the poll button here. Do, 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 do. Bear with me. Polls. There we go. Watch. You know, everybody keeps updating stuff and putting it in a different place. So while that is rolling, we are going to give you a couple disclaimers as always. The first one, put away your credit cards. We're not selling you anything. This is all about education. So that second one, this is all about educational content only. We're not giving legal, financial, or engineering advice, and we're not medical doctors. We're just people on the internet trying to help you run your building better. We've helped thousands of people with their building problems and have seen what worked and what didn't when it comes to restoring or running condos. And we want to share that with you in hopes that it benefits you. And so today is all about roofs. Okay. Let's see who's in the, we've got some Washington folks, some Oregon folks, managers, board members, homeowners, community managers. How do we hear about this? Social media. Oh, good. J2's email, newsletter. Have you been through a repair project? 80% of you have been through a big repair project. So that's awesome. So let's see. We share those results. You can see that. And then we'll stop sharing. All right. So stick around for the live Q&A at the end. We'll answer as many questions as we can in this hour. And we'll add the rest of the next show if you got more. The next one's pretty interesting. We're going to be talking about solar, and that plays into roofs pretty well. So if you have a more specific question, stay tuned for a link to schedule a free one-on-one call with me or Delph. 15 minutes free. Talk to us about your roof. People are, you know, taking pictures and FaceTiming us and saying, hey, is this something to worry about? And you know, we can walk you through that. So Ben, the producer, is going to be monitoring the chat, and Del and I will go through the Q&A panel at the end of the show. So again, put your questions into the Q&A, and Ben will put links to things into the chat. So we're going to be doing a raffle giveaway at the end. This box is sealed tight. It is the mystery box. I can guarantee you it has some good stuff in it. It's heavy. So stick around for that. All right. Summary. What are we going to do? We're going to talk about what is a roof. You know, it's a little bit more than just, you know, what's on top. And we're going to talk about commercial and residential roofing because multifamily properties have a combination of both types. There's a lot of flat or low slope roofs and steep slope roofs. So think shingle and membrane, if you will. So that's materials and the low slope. We're going to talk about design and maintenance considerations, you know, being proactive, some roof feature considerations. And then what about overlays? Why can't I just cover it versus tearing it off? What about coating it? I've heard coatings are great. So big thing about drainage. So if you got other venting questions or other things like that, throw them in the chat and let's talk. All right. What is a roof? Hey, the basic thing is it's designed to keep the outside out, but it can also be a gathering place or a place to earn some extra money, like solar or cell towers. We've got a few photos here, all of multifamily, but you can see steep slope. This is that shingle or traditional kind of shingle look, flat or low sloped roof. And then over here, we've got a low slope roof that they're storing windows on as they work on the building. So, you know, Del, what would you add to this?
I mean, like I say, in some of our educational facilities, they still rent out a lot of their roofs to communications, AT&T, T-Mobile, the cell phone companies, and they have right. A lot of antennas up there. So, seeing a lot of stuff with dog walks now, that's becoming a popular thing for
me. Yeah, generation. Dog like runs.
Dog walk or dog run on the roof of the building. You know, outside of that, a little bit of green roofing, you know, that's
because mm-hmm. green roofing was a big deal, and then yeah. Sometimes it turns into a brown roof, but
well, it's all about irrigation. But green roofing, right. You know, plaza decks, people want to use that space, they don't, you know, it's more, you know, plaza decks for off of, you know, lunchrooms and stuff like that, or places to rent out, and you know, okay, this is a place you can have at an event. So.
Gotcha, yep, all right. Commercial versus residential. So on the left side of the screen, we think of shingles. We think of metal around here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't see a lot of clay or slate, but maybe some panel. But residential is usually steep slope shingles. But then on the right side, we have some membranes. So some. Can you take us through what these asphalt BUR, what are these various, and I don't need all the technical names, but take us through that.
So all the items that you see on the right-hand side are for a low slope roof, and a low slope roof is any roof that's less than a 2-12 pitch. So
what does that translate into percentage wise?
I think it is less than 3%.
Okay. Okay. The pretty low.
Oh yeah. Very low. Yeah. Shingles, you know, we prefer shingles in particular. Prefer, you know, 4-12 is usually the minimum that you'd like to see. I've seen them as low as 3-12 or 2-12, but that's when you start to get into trouble with them. Most of the other metal panels, the clay tiles, the slate, you definitely going to see something a steeper pitch, steeper than 4-12, to make sure that you get water runoff and snow runoff and any debris that's up there just to exit and get down to the drainage.
Right, right. So in that right side picture, you'll see two gloved hands. One's holding a torch. Yes. And so it's often referred to as torch down. So what we're doing there is we're heating or melting the black asphalt on the back of that roll, and that correct. Glues down as the guy rolls it out with some kind of shovel or a poker so he doesn't burn his hands. And so that's in the industry, you'll hear, oh, I have a torch down roof. Well, actually that's a asphalt or a, that style rough, but again, commercial roll, flat, low slope.
Yeah. And like I say, these membranes, when you hear asphalt or BUR means built up roofing, that can mean multiple plies, or they felt with hot asphalt in between them. You can also hear about SBS membranes or APP membranes, and that's kind of what you see more in the picture of where they're torching it down. Those also can be installed, you know, where they kind of a peeling stick itself. Mm-hmm. And then you have your TPO and your PVCs, which are your kind of plastic roofs, if you will, the thermoset. Mm-hmm. And then thermoplastics. And then you have your EPDM roof, which is basically your rubber.
Okay.
Type of rubber, whether it be ballasted, mechanically attached, or fully adhered.
Okay. All right. So let's jump to this next one. So sloped roofs, the advantages of sloped roofs, you know, they kind of, the phrase I use to every designer is don't be a dope. Slope. Okay. We want water running off it. We want gravity is free. Gravity never needs any maintenance. You don't have to change the batteries. The power never goes out. It slopes, it drains. So that first advantage there, effective drainage. It's a different aesthetic appeal, usually lower cost. There's a wide variety. You can get a whole bunch of different colors of these shingles. You can get wood. You can get all sorts of different looks to it. But it's got some disadvantages, and the pictures in the photo look pretty ugly. There's some blended in shingles there, but we've got shorter service life and maybe access difficulty. It's a little steeper. You got to tie off. It's harder to get up and down on your roof.
The shorter service life is typically due to UV damage or aging. Okay. It's the sun, mm-hmm. sun exposure. And, you know, like I say, as water runs across it, it takes the granules with it. So,
mm-hmm.
and once that fiberglass, you know, reinforcement starts to show, that's usually the first sign is that the edges of your shingles, you start to see that little bit of fiberglass. And if you look in the gutters, right in there, you start seeing a bunch of granules from the actual shingles. That's when you start to know that it's aging and starting to wear.
Okay. All right. So then low sloped roofs. Here's a picture of a big flat roof. Is this one of the schools we're working on? What is this?
Yeah, this is a high school, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This was the base sheet that you see there, the black, which is mm-hmm. the bottom layer of the membrane. That was kind of that peel and stick fully adhered. And then the white membrane, which you see on top, was actually torched.
Hmm.
You can mix and match depending on the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we do more of a peel on the bottom because of the wood deck, so you don't set it on fire. And then the other is so that, you know, you could torch the top, which you get better adhesion, you know, for wind uplift. And then the seams also are adhered a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
it's a good durable roof. Usually, typically, we usually ask for 20-year, no dollar limit warranties when we do our designs.
Mm-hmm.
We always design to a Class A fire rating, which is, you know, like the best fire rating you can get. I mean, it's basically for like hospitals, fire stations, stuff like that.
Okay.
These membranes have better UV resistance than the shingles do. It's just mm-hmm. in the manufacturing process. They tend to hold up better. They're definitely more durable.
Okay. Yeah. But they do cost more.
They do cost more.
One of the disadvantages.
They do cost more. They do take a longer to install because they, like I said, they're multi-layered. So you'll have a roof deck. You'll typically have some kind of underlayment. Then you have to install boards of insulation. And you have to, you know, install that base membrane and that top membrane. So even, you know, if it's a single ply, it still takes longer than it would be for like a shingle roof to get installed.
Gotcha. Can you tell people what sloped top mounted insulation is and why we use it?
Okay. So when people build the buildings from, you know, from new construction, sometimes they have a structural deck. And if they build the deck and it's absolutely completely flat, that doesn't, you know, promote water draining through the drains. So what we have to do when we put the roof on is actually take tapered pieces of insulation, usually polyisocyanurate, or mm-hmm. they call it ISO or polyiso.
So it's a hard styrofoam. It's a
hard foam board
mm-hmm.
that's insulation. And those come as sloped, you know, kind of tapered panel systems that are put together, and the manufacturers usually can, you know, perform and put together a layout of where you need these panels, how many panels you need, so that we can get all the water moving directly to the drains or to the gutters, depending on.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, we have a slide on that. And so I wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit. But so here's some common roof types. Like I said, we see a lot of shingle around here. PVC, it's kind of that white, or the TPO will be kind of that white or gray.
Mm-hmm.
The SBS is in and or the built-up roofing. That's that asphalt torch down product. Metal, of course, is a good one and a durable one. Oh, then you get these EPDM, the rubber, like where, what, how does, why do we use the rubber roofs, and where are they used specifically?
So you can use rubber roofs in a lot of places, particularly a lot of places that you can't use the PVC. And
why?
What? You know, flexibility is the number one. You can definitely do more with it. It's easier to install in colder temperatures, although sometimes, you know, depends on if you're fully adhering it, then you may have an issue. If you're doing them mechanically attached, then it's less of an issue. Mm-hmm. It's easier to repair for contractors. It's easier to repair the EPDM, because I've seen people come with at PVC and TPO with, you know, built up roofing supplies trying to patch it that way. Mm-hmm. Some kind of tape, which is, if you do that, it's a temporary repair. The PVC and the TPO require a heat gun or heat to actually weld to it. The EPDM just requires primer and then a pressure sensitive tape to repair it.
Kind of like back in the day, the old bike tube, inner tube repair kits.
Correct.
A little glue and stick a piece on there. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cost wise, I think in this region, and this varies state to state, city to city, I think the EPDM is slightly more expensive than the TPO and PVC, but not much.
Okay. All right. Great. Does any of this stuff sound familiar? Roofs, do you have any leaks after these snowstorms? We just went through 2 weeks where Mother Nature was trying to kill us, and now she's pulling up a little bit. But there's a link there, learn.g2consultants.com, and you can get a call with either me or Dell about your roof. Dell can be reached at 503-546-8212. And Dell moves around to all our offices. He was in Utah and Wyoming last week, and and does a lot of Oregon and Washington stuff. And what other places have you been this past year?
That's mostly, I've been mostly in this region, but I can work anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once
all right,
the certifications, I've been, like I say, I'm originally from Detroit and have done projects across the country. So it's not this region or any one particular state. I can do it virtually. Right.
Okay, roof features. Now let's get into some other things. So here we've got this. We had this project with this really cool dog run.
I remember. But,
you know, we can do decks. We can do gardens. There can be overlaid decks, you know, wood, and a lot of people, or a lot of building styles are creating this rooftop deck now as kind of a place to hang out, a place to get some sun, because the yards are getting smaller and you can just go sit on the deck. However, you know, all these things require maintenance, and especially if you're installing real grass, how's that going to grow? How's it going to get watered and mowed? I got to drag the mower up to the roof. So you got to think about weight and noise and safety and waste disposal. Any kind of pet thing, you're supposed to be picking up your pet droppings, but you know, you don't quite get it 100% up. And so a couple of years later, this AstroTurf is pretty nasty and the drains are clogged. And so you really got to start thinking about that. So
even with the irrigation systems that they put up there, you still, you know, bathroom noise, drain and stuff like that is very tough on roofing products and on, like I say, the turfs and stuff like that. So,
right. Okay. So then let's see. We've got My comment on pavers too, but rooftop decks with wood sleepers, you know, you'll have this sloping roof. So then you create a tapered sleeper. So you have a flat deck. So you put your boards onto the sleepers and they inevitably screw a long screw through the deck board, through the sleeper into the roof and start puncturing the roof. And so one of the things we're always looking for on these rooftop decks is, okay, let's make sure we can lift up these deck panels or, you know, move it around. And as you're designing those, it's good to have a modular design versus here's this massive deck and I can never lift it up to maintain under it and clean out the leaves and, you know, little maple tree helicopters, and they get all stuck under there and it's a pain. So if you're doing something like that, make sure you maintain and get the ability to maintain.
Yeah, it would be better for people to use like pedestal pavers. That way, you pick up and get on the deck
one at a time. Yeah.
But I will say, if you do use any kind of cementitious or like a concrete paver, definitely check the structure of the building or have your building check to see if it can hold the weight of that new structure. You want to add this deck with all these pavers.
Right.
So, weight. Same thing with the green roof.
Well, it's interesting you're talking about weight. So in the upper right hand corner, here's a cell tower. And so we've seen these designs and they say, here, this metal structure only weighs X amount. And we're like, yeah, that'll work. And then we find they put a whole bunch of concrete paper blocks to keep them from blowing over. And it's like, wait a minute. So anyway.
Well, fortunately, that building there in particular has a very robust concrete structure underneath it. So that's the only way, and that those belong to AT&T. But that definitely we had to take a look at. We did had an engineer look at it, and AT&T actually replaced those, and those are new ones that are slightly lighter than even the old ones that they had on there.
Right.
So
what we're showing in this picture is the interesting, you know, the amount of accessories and access and wiring and conduit. So, hey, it's just two towers, right? Here's just two towers. But check out these raceways that are going all the way over the roof and just everywhere down the side of the building. And so it's not just two towers. It's all this raceway. So this group was deciding to do a new roof, and I said, well, we have to take out these raceways, and so I'm sure we have to talk to the phone provider, and they probably don't want their cell service discontinued for a while we do the roof. So look at your lease. You know, it's always fun to receive, you know, a couple grand for this per month, but look at the lease. Who owns what? Who needs to pay for the roof after these things kind of are wearing it out, or who detaches them while we do a new roof? And so these are all things to kind of think through a little bit of how do we fix this or maintain this every, you know, 3 to 5 years while receiving a nice rent check. So,
and you know, for in some cases, like the top picture, the way the contract was written is that the communication company actually put in a percentage towards the new roof. They did this for the new roof that got installed shortly after they actually paid some money.
Cool.
Towards that, they gave them money towards the new roofing costs.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And another thing, you know, if your top floor unit is right under one of these things or under the deck area and your unit starts getting flooded, who again owns what? This gets back to previous shows we've had about exterior water entering or, you know, damaging the interior. Who pays what? Whose insurance pays for what? So kind of start thinking about that of, you know, is it the cell phone tower's fault or is it the roof maintenance fault that the thing leaked? And so interesting things to think about. But what else you can put on your roofs these days? So solar panel, of course. So, you know, there's different state credits, there's federal credits. Next month, we're going to be talking about this. And as we're preparing for this show next month, really kind of interesting sunk in because legislation is already on the books for 2035 on the whole West Coast that says all new cars must be electric. That's only 11 years out. And we're having a tough time. You know, if you remember living through the cold snap, the utilities are saying, hey, try to turn down your heat so we don't have brownouts. And I can't imagine having a whole parking lot of cars charging as well. And so it's really something to start thinking about those properties who are planning for this in the, you know, 3 to 5 years will have a higher property value as more and more people are getting electric cars. Why should I move into that apartment? I can't charge it. Why should I move into that condo? I can't charge it. Oh, I want to move into that one because it comes with chargers. And so it'll be an interesting thing. It's kind of like cable. Remember, those of us old enough to remember it, this place doesn't have fiber optics yet. It's slow internet. We're going to be going through kind of that same thing about solar. So anything you wanted to add about solar, Dell, other than these penetrations?
Like you say, with the solar, I mean, we've been seeing more manufacturers experiment with solar shingles or solar panels to different types of roof membrane and, you know, varying degrees of success, or, you know, they become super expensive or, you know, further testing is required. The most common solar panels you see are the ones in the picture, you know, whether it's mounted on a low slope roof or a shingle roof. And, you know, the biggest thing I usually have with people getting solar is make sure that the supports are flashed correctly so they don't create mortar damage or through the shingles or get into your attics or get into the building.
Right in here. Where are these penetrations or bases coming in?
Penetrations are typically under shingles, and on shingle roofs, they are so low. The panels usually are so mounted so low to the roof, it's very hard to get to them. So when they install them the first time, they need to flash them correct the first time, or they need to give you a little room, you know, between them and the shingles, so you actually can get to and get to that flashing if you need to repair it.
Right. Yep. So. Okay. Skylights. They're nothing more than a window in your roof. So, and this, you can see the water staining, you can see the finish is peeling off, you can see some water staining going down the drywall. So just, they're a hole in your roof with glass in it. So make sure these things are installed and designed properly and flashed in, means tied into the roofing membrane.
Oh yeah, this is typically a weak point in the roof. Everybody wants the skylight, and they usually take the cheapest method of flashing or picking the actual skylight product where the seals are not, it's not the best quality of the seals. And, you know, the skylight industry, they've got pretty advanced with the shades, and they can be controlled by your phone and all this thing, but it still all goes back to the basic. Keep the water out, make sure that it's well flashed. And then on some of the larger commercial buildings and the newer construction, or if you replace a skylight, there are OSHA standards now so that people on the roof don't lean on them and fall through.
Mm.
Unfortunately, has happened in our industry too many times where people rested sitting there for lunch and falling through.
Wow.
So, yeah, now they either have you put a retroactive kind of grate over the top of it, or added a grate on the inside of it, but people don't like that look of the grate. It kind of looked like bars and stuff. Right. Or they actually manufacture the structure. They put enough reinforcement in the actual skylight itself to where it meets that load.
Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. Skylights are cool, though. I like them.
They are cool.
Okay. So we're going to talk about overlays versus tear-offs. So what do we mean by an overlay?
So an overlay is when you have an existing roof, whether it's steep slope or low slope. So if you have a shingle roof and you want to overlay, means you put another shingle roof on top of it. Mm-hmm. And by code, you're allowed to have only up to two roofs.
Two layers.
With a flat roof or a low slope roof, you usually have an existing roof. You put down some kind of cover board, and then you put down another membrane on top of that one.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pros and cons to it. You can't get the long warranties for these. Usually you can get 10 to maybe 15 years.
Okay.
Some manufacturers will go further than that. We typically don't see them lasting longer than that.
Okay.
It's more of a, I guess you call it a little bit of a stopgap. as to not being able to replace it. If you don't have the money, then yes, okay, let's mm-hmm. do an overlay.
But you don't have to tear off the old one, so you correct. Save that money.
You don't have to tear off. You save money by not having to remove the old roof. Some people say, like I say, it's less destructive because it's a little bit quieter. You don't have to worry about them actually banging on the mm-hmm. deck and trying to get that roof off. Usually they screw in through that old roof. And then, like I say, the new membrane is the waterproofing. Mm. Okay. Like I say, for disadvantages, you are increasing weight because you are adding more material to the roof.
Right.
So weight on the structure is something you got to consider. Like I say, shorter lifespan because you have an existing roof there that's already gone bad. Now you're just putting a kind of a short-term roof on top of it. Mm. So if that one fails, you got to tear it all off anyway.
And it's all coming off. So kind of kicking the demo cost down the road because now it's going to be double the tear off.
Correct. The other downside about this, if you do an overlay and your original roof was bad, and I'm going to put an overlay over the top of it. Well, you never get to see that underlying structure, that roof deck, and see what kind of water damage was caused to that by all the leaks. Like right. It was leaking before you decided to replace it. That water went and did damage to that wood deck or, mm-hmm. you know, start rusting that steel deck or, you know, start causing trouble underneath it. And yep. some people would say, well, you know, we want to overlay, you know. But to we always say if you're going to do an overlay, definitely do a moisture survey, do an infrared survey, find out if there's water trapped. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little investigation.
Find out if there's water trapped in that existing membrane mm-hmm. before you even think about trying to do an overlay.
Otherwise, you're going to put a new hat on an old problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So tear offs. Talk to us about that.
So tear offs, you get to see that underlying structure. You tear everything completely off. Fresh start. I can see if I have any damage in the structure or roofing deck. I can repair that at that time. Brand new underlayment, brand new dry insulation, 100% new roof. And like I say, you can get warranties. We get 20 years. You can get 30-year warranties. Mm-hmm. They do exist, depending on the type of system and the type of membrane, the product. Like I say, disadvantages, it costs more because you have to tear all that roofing off and mm-hmm. dispose of it. It's a little bit more destructive, a little bit more noise because you have to tear it all the way down in that roof deck. Once you get there, it's not much between you and the inside. So some people say, oh my God, it's so much noise. But I mean, it's kind of, the noise is about similar on par with shingles and them banging on the,
sure,
about the same. So yeah. You tear a shingle roof all the way off. You put it back on, they still got a bang and bang, bang, bang. So,
right.
Built up roof is a little bit louder, but you know, it's manageable.
Yeah.
You'll do it in occupied buildings, commercial and residential. So, mm-hmm. can be done.
Great. Okay. We're going to talk about crickets, and here's our slope. And so, a good way to think about it, we've got this angled asphalt roof, and we got a big, wide, flat chimney in it. Mm-hmm. And so we actually put a triangle or a cricket, it's called. So if the water's flowing down, it hits this, turns sideways. I'll go back to that.
Go back. Everyone.
Turns sideways and rolls around as opposed to getting kind of stuck behind the chimney and backing up and entering there. So if you have crickets or saddles behind your chimney, that's a good sign. But then you go down to the flat roof area and you'll see where we use these triangles kind of in the middle. So the main roof came down like this and we got to get the water from the middle over to each drain. Correct. So we put these triangle wedges to redirect the water back over to that drain. And here's our chimney. So you can see the cricket rolls that way and around. It goes down, hits that angle and goes into the drain. So. That's what I meant about tapered insulation.
It's always funny. It's a little bit of a trick question. I always got asked when I was a lot younger in my career, what's the difference between a saddle and a cricket? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, it depends on the correct answer. The most correct answer I've been able to find to date is it depends on if it's low slope or steep slope. Mm. If it's steep slope, it's a cricket. It's always a cricket. If it's low slope, like you see here, that between the two drains, that's a mm-hmm. saddle. What's behind that unit is a cricket. And then the saddles themselves. I still have people to this day, highest levels, arguing that simple. Is it crab? Is it called a saddle? Is it called a cricket? Is it called a saddle? Is it called a cricket? And I mean, the debate is going to go on. I mean,
going to keep going.
Oh, it's going to keep going. And I'll happily be in that argument or that debate. Because, you know, it's what we do.
That's what we do. All right. Here's looking at gutters. So we're trying to drain the water off the roof now. This is a fairly typical gutter and a downspout. And so just kind of reminders, hey, it's important to have slope. We're getting the water off of there, regular cleaning, and, you know, getting rid of, you know, even installing those gutter guards or leaf guards where it just keeps the junk out of there. And so key to take your water away and down and out.
Yeah, for gutter guards, I try and, I mean, they have different types. You have some that are mechanically attached to the water. You have types that lay into it. I kind of lean a little bit more to the kind that lay in because you can easily take them out. Any tools and stuff, and you can have your roofer do the maintenance and clean out the gutters and shake them out and then put them back in.
Yep.
Real easy.
Okay. Here's an interesting thing we see a lot of. So in this lower photo, the upper roof is draining and just kind of dumps out on the lower roof. And what that does is all the water is focused and just pours right on these two shingles.
Yep.
And so it just really erodes the granules. And if there's any kind of defect in that shingle or underlayment, that ton of water is just going to be dumping in there. And so what we're trying to do here is take it all the way down to the next gutter and not let these shingles just get trashed with excess wash off. So you can kind of look around your building and go, hey, wait a minute. That's what, you know, dumping on the lower roof is a trick to save on gutter money, downspout money.
Well, you see a lot of downspouts also aim perpendicular like that, that top one. So they're aiming at the side of the shingle instead of the best protection of waterproofing is low down the slope. And they,
the water's going aiming this
at the side of it. And it's like, we got a leak. And I was like, yeah. Shingles, they're leaking waterproofing like one direction. And you're putting them to the test here.
Yeah.
The lower picture is the most correct way to do that drainage, and that's according to the Asphalt Roof Manufacturers Association. How it's supposed to be done.
And they even did their best trying to match the color downspouts.
Really go to down a darker color, you know, so it blends into the shingles. But
so another way they could have done this is bring their downspout here and just go all the way down. And then this could get down there as well. Okay. Yeah. Great. All right. Where are we here? Here's an interesting kind of roof. It's a combo. So we've got a steep slope with a flat top. And so in this, what we're trying to show you is a primary and secondary drain. And so that overflow drain is when this drain gets blocked with, in this picture, we've got palm trees, when it gets blocked with coconuts and palms, this one shouldn't be blocked. So we might have 2 inches of water because 2 inches is the code. We might have 2 inches of water, but we won't have 12 inches of water that really puts a structural load on the roof. So in flat roofs, you always want this secondary drain. In this example, we've got the primary drain and you've got a little lip to give you that secondary thing. And if it fills up to that lip, it'll flow out that hole. Yep. And so that's part of the building code and why we have two sets of drains.
Yeah, the overflow in the top one, the where it says overflow drain, is usually a 2-inch metal collar. Around that drain, it prevents water from going in it. They have to be on two separate plumbing pipes so that if the first one plugs, the second one is still active. But it has to reach that 2-inch level before it actually starts taking on water.
Gotcha.
And then the lower one, the overflow scupper, is also good because if the primary drains are plugged and you start seeing water run out of that scupper and down the side of your building, you know you got a problem.
Yep. So that's the what he's talking about is there's usually what's called this brass little thing. It's called a cow's tongue. Mm-hmm. And you don't see any water coming out of it except once a year. And all of a sudden there's water spraying out. And you're like, uh-oh, that's my indication that the Something's roof is leaking.
Wrong. Yep.
Or roof is full. So time to go up there and clean the roof. Okay, what do we got here? Diverters. So these are...
Those are more snow guards. Converters themselves, usually you see them at when you have shingles going to like a gutter,
mm-hmm.
coming off of a wall. So you have a flat wall coming down, you have shingles coming down right next to you, and you have your step flashing. And when mm-hmm. you get to the bottom, you always have this little piece of metal that kind of kicks and takes all that water and makes sure it goes in the diverter or into the gutter. This diverter goes into the gutter instead of going down the side of your cladding or your wall cladding or mm-hmm. inside your wall cladding. Because mm-hmm. that's where it goes behind paneling and fiber cement.
Right. So why do we use snow guards in areas of high snow, especially on metal roofs?
So this is like the Utah special. Mm-hmm. you use the snow guards because when snow builds up there, like you're coming out of your door, you slam the door, you walk out. You don't want that sheet of snow to come and wipe you out.
Yeah.
It causes a lot of damage. Snow is very heavy. And if mm-hmm. it's saved and there's a bunch of ice at the bottom, the ice chunks are even heavier.
Right.
I've seen ice at the bottom of gutters, fold them out flat because you know, it's 8 inches of water that froze into a solid block. Now you got this 1,000-pound block or, you know.
That's really dangerous. Wall.
Yeah, it gets very dangerous.
Okay. All right, let's talk about coatings. So it seems like everybody's trying to sell kind of, you know, don't replace your roof, just paint this stuff on. It's magical.
Oh, goodness.
So what are the advantages? And then we'll talk about the disadvantages of coatings.
Well, the advantages, it all depends on what type of coating, what the material is, and mm-hmm. what are you trying to use it for. Commonly, you'll see aluminum coating, fibrated aluminum coating. That's applied more to low slope, built-up roofs, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, SBS or asphalt or APP. And the aluminum coating is strictly to stop or slow down the damage from the UV, from the sun.
You'll get to be reflective.
Cracking across the surface. It's called alligatoring. Mm-hmm. You put this over it, and it'll slow that process down from that membrane, you know, slowly starting to degrade from that UV. It provides absolutely no waterproofing. It's strictly for UV.
Okay.
I've seen people say, oh, I'll put aluminum coating on there and that's going to stop it. No, it will not. If you put bonding water on aluminum coating, they will turn it brown.
Okay. Tell us about silicone coating. That new
silicone is more flexible. Mm-hmm. Definitely does provide waterproofing. Mm-hmm. It will bridge cracks, small cracks. It will stretch and move with the roof. With the silicone, the bigger thing is nothing likes to stick to it.
Right.
But once you install it, it's hard to get stuff to stick to it because nothing likes to stick to silicone.
Right.
The most important thing with any coating is to make sure you do the proper surface preparation. You have to thoroughly clean the roof.
They're really pressure washing, cleaning it off. Pressure washing. Coating will adhere.
Yeah, most manufacturers, actually all manufacturers have what they require as far as roof preparation. And mm-hmm. that's the one thing that's usually glanced over. And you see, you know, elastomeric type roofing, which is kind of a rubberized type roofing being installed over a sheet metal. And they didn't do the proper prep on the sheet metal or
elastomeric. You can just peel it off like a bad sunburn. Peel it
right up. It's been there. Oh, we had it installed 2 or 3 years ago and now it's peeling up. Yes, preparation. Right. The surface
bad preparation
wasn't done right. So.
Okay.
The best is a good, better, best. Silicone is kind of that better. And I think we have something called PMMA. More of a chemical coating, and it looks similar to silicone. I usually like reinforced PMMA, and that stuff is kind of best. And with a PMMA coating, I know you can get a 20-year warranty out of it.
20 years. Yeah.
Silicone, you definitely can get 10 to 15. I think manufacturers give a 10. It'll last out to 15. The PMMA will definitely get you to the 20. It costs the most, but by far.
Yeah. So there's times and places to use coating as opposed to re-overlaying or replacing. So, yeah. What are the disadvantages of it?
Well, let me say this. Currently, there is no coating that you can put on shingles that will stay and work long term. I've seen the commercials on TV where you got the guys, we can spray the oils back into your shingles. I laugh every time I see
it. Yep. It sounds too good to be true.
Oh, that's a good one. I was like,
who's that guy that cuts a hole in his boat and sprays the stuff?
Oh, yeah, the Flex Seal. Yeah. Disadvantages, like I say, they're not as durable as just or a new membrane. The coatings are the least durable. Like I say, you can have issues with them. The adhesion is the biggest thing, surface preparation. They come undone, and then you end up having to redo them again and again and again. And
Trapped moisture, giving it blisters.
If you put on a coating and you didn't do that moisture survey or that infrared survey to see if there's any water trapped into that roof, water trapped in the roof in the summertime and the sun hits it, it's going to turn it to vapor. And steam. That vapor wants to get out.
Right.
And it can't with some of these rubberized coatings because they're impermeable. They won't let anything out. They won't let anything in, but they won't let anything out. So you end up having blisters in the actual, the old underlying membrane, or you end up having it where the coating itself is blistering and peeling and popping. And
we did this project on the waterfront, and it had some blisters in the silicone coating. And the seagulls were literally attacking the blisters because somebody said they thought they were oysters because they were kind of round and sticking out and glowing. And so they were ripping the roof apart, and it was just a disaster. But they were attracted to it. Pretty funny.
So well, I haven't seen that one, but I'm curious.
Okay. Here's a side profile of me squinting and probably saying something. But new hat, same problem. New hat, old problem. What do we mean there?
Well, I mean, this, you know, new hat, it's more being, you know, always trying to tell people to be proactive with your roofing or any part of your building. Definitely don't wait until it becomes an emergency. Fixing an emergency is very expensive, and it happens like that. If you can plan for it, then it becomes something that you can control the cost of. So, gotcha. Hey, I know that this is coming up. I know that, you know, in 5 years, I know I'm going to need this roof. And, you know, 10 years, I know I'm going to need these windows. I know I'm going to need this waterproofing. If you know for it and plan for it, and when the times come, you have the money and stuff ready, you get it done and do it complete. Don't do Band-Aid fixes and, you know, stuff like that.
Yep, yep. I'm getting a message.
Hey, we got a beautiful day. I'll do a little roof inspection. South Sound, look at the Olympics out there. You can see the Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
Oh, it's
a beautiful day. So we're looking at a nice, robust building, but it's 20, 30 years old. I don't know right off the top of my head, but we're looking at a little roof evaluation of some roll modified bit torch down roofing. It has some kind of seal coat, the aluminum coat.
See that cracking?
That's the alligator. A little bit, but
yep.
Kind of over in these corners, we're trying to get slope to let the water drain back to the drains. And sometimes in these slope areas, you get these pieces where the nails are trying to poke through the roofing surface. And so these aren't quite poking through yet. They're getting there. But then we get a little closer and we have a high nail that's actually causing this seam. This is the seam, but it's actually ripping the roof. So this is a leak or a leak source. We've got another one right here on that seam. You can see that nail right there. So we gotta get these nails resecured and kind of pound it back down.
It's important to look at Dell's face right now. He's really proud that I know how to do a roof inspection.
Parapet, you see a nice sloped parapet as standing seams. drains well, but then you got to check some of these standing seams sometimes, especially on the corners. You'll get this little standing seam cover actually blowing off. So when it blows off, you can get water in between the cracks there. And you gotta check your tile roof sealants. You can see those are cracked up. We can get that recoated. But you can come over and kind of see some similar. These guys are struggling to stay on. Sealant there needs to be redone.
That's
a good looking roof. And it's a good looking day. Make sure you check your roofs.
All right, now I see we got another
one. Hey, we got a beautiful day. I'll doing a little roof inspection.
That's the same one.
Yeah, I wish I was there with you. I'd love to look at that building some more.
Okay, so be proactive with your roof. Get out there in the rain. This is me on my building, and their gutters were overflowing. You know, we had one of these flash floods, and I just put on a raincoat and went out there and cleaned the downspout out and got it working again. So it happens to all of us. There's my smiling face. But roof inspections, especially after a rainy day, reveal, hey, why do I have this 3-inch deep lake up here? Mm-hmm. That doesn't look good. Or why do I have leaking gutters and kind of this doesn't look like the best quality? It's kind of smeared up with everything. And do I need to put that on the maintenance list? Do I need to think about, maybe quarterly get up here or every other, twice a year or every other year, kind of get up and poke around and just like that video showed, kind of check odds and ends, looking for some leaks, get those things when they're small and it won't turn into a big deal.
Right.
Because if it turns into a big deal, look at these pictures.
Yeah, huh? I know that bottom one. I took that picture. There were mushrooms growing on the bottom of that wood.
That's on the inside edge of the plywood or the sheathing, we call it. So these are the roof joists. You can see the top inch of the joist is just black and water damaged and wet. The insulation is compressed because it got so wet. So it's not working well anymore.
And charred. The light fixtures that were in there were not rated to be next to insulation.
Oh, wow. So
they were also setting the building on fire every time they turned on the lights. They were charring the insulation.
So that's a remodel experience where it's like, wouldn't it be fun to put in can lights? And they put in wrong can lights. And then their electrician scoots all the insulation. So now we got this hot can light condensing in the roof cavity. Oh, boy. What a pain. So what's this steep slope? You can see what are these things called and so why do they put
actually,
them on?
Those actually are helping them with the insulation, their tow boards. So they help their safety thing so that the contractor that's installing the shingles, they have somewhere to stand so they're not sliding down the roof. These guys should be tied off in harnesses, and you'll see these tow boards so they can install the shingles. As they move down, they'll take the tow boards off.
You can see all the ropes.
The shingles installed. So it's definitely a safety. You want to see that. You want them to be safe, definitely be tied off.
Mm-hmm.
Deeper the slope, the more you'll see it.